Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and tonight we're talking waiver wire pickups and just a bit of a reflection of what's happened throughout the week. I must apologize. There are, at the time this comes out, there's still two games to be played, but for the waiver wires to come out, we are dropping it on the Monday. But to kick it off, we welcome Stevie Fizz. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing all right, Jono, but I'm going to start off the show with something a bit different. I'm going to throw out a strampling.
Is it your cat?
No, not the cat. The cat's doing great. I just want to, like, if you go into the football, why are you racially abusing people in this day and age, let alone support staff? Like, what is going on?
I only caught a little bit of that article. I didn't realize it was support staff.
What is going on? Like, what? Just
morons just, out there.
Just don't you realize you're going to get... It's going to be bad. It's just bad news. No one's going to think it's funny. Just... Come on, guys. Come on.
I thought you were going to give a strampling to your cat because it seems like everyone's allowed to pat her now.
No, she won't. She doesn't do anything to the baby. She knows not to. I don't know why.
Okay. I just thought she might have got even a little bit more timid over in her older age.
Her reputation's dying off slowly.
That's for sure. And we welcome to you, Statesman. How are you, mate?
Very good. It was a wonderful journey yesterday, gentlemen, over to Victoria to give the Victorians a bit of a flogging. It was fantastic. So back in the Tassie after a very, very long day and a happy man, of course.
Very good. But a bit of news coming out over the weekend. A lot of injuries this weekend, actually. We saw on Friday night, Mark Murphy. Didn't he get reported till Saturday that he's done a meniscus? He's had some scans, but we're still waiting on the results of that. He says he'll be fine and should get up for the weekend, but that's going to be a wait and see. And Bryce Gibbs, we saw going in the contest, got his finger caught in the jumper or something like that. Didn't look good because he grabbed his hand straight away, but again, he's had the scans, finger's fine. He says he should play this weekend. Travis Boak copped a knee to the hamstring. They reckon he should be okay, but again, having the scans, we're going to wait and see on that one. Dan Talia pulled that hammy while playing against Tommy Lynch and the Gold Coast on Saturday afternoon, evening. Again, that looked pretty bad, so could be a couple of weeks, didn't come back on for that. Goldie went down with an ankle late in the fourth. Haven't heard too much about that, but hopefully he's all right because it was actually a pretty good battle between him and Sandy on Saturday night. Nick Riewoldt, Sunday afternoon, rolled the ankle in the fourth quarter against the Cats, but got it strapped up and came back on, so should be fine with that. But the big one, Stephen Hill, tore his hammy late in that, was it the fourth quarter, I think it was? Steve's?
Yeah, it was in the fourth quarter, buddy. Yep.
Was the fourth quarter, yep.
Managed to get a clearance coming off the ground, too.
But minus 15 Supercoach points because of that.
Unbelievable. Fake news.
It did look pretty bad. It looked high up on the hammy there, so it could be 4 weeks plus for Stephen Hill, who'd been going quite well, actually.
Stop taking joy in my goddamn misery, Jono.
Oh, I love it. No Higgins, just hoping you lose this week. It's all good. It's all good. Brett Deledio has come out and said there's no timeline for him to return anytime soon, and it's going to be the back half of the season.
He just said it was 2 weeks. He just said it was a couple of weeks this morning.
Well, it said back end of the season, just before we went to air when recording this.
Fake news, so. Jono. Fake news. He was on the footy show and he said a couple of weeks.
Well, haven't they been saying a couple of weeks for a couple of weeks?
I've been saying that for a couple of years.
They have. And another bad news there for Gus Brayshaw. Copped another concussion playing in the twos over the weekend. We know he's had a history of that, so hopefully he can recover from that and get back to playing senior footy, because I'm a fan of Gus, that's for sure. And also, if you haven't seen it, Dusty has been named for Monday night, but gee, I am not confident he is playing at all. Had the groin soreness after the Brisbane game, but I don't think he'll play. I'm calling it right now, he will not play. So if you've got Dusty, try to change him out.
No, I'm playing him. I don't need him to play, Jono.
You do or you don't?
Well, I need him to play for my own team, and also my opponent in the other league has Josh Caddy. That could be good news for Josh Caddy if Dustin Martin's out.
Quite possibly, but could do. I don't think so.
That time, yeah. Josh Caddy had some good news.
Is that coming from a Josh Caddy owner, is it?
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Or check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We've got the daily dozen deals dropping each week where Steve gives his analysis on who to hold, drop and sell, and buy even. And check us out on Facebook, where you just search The Draft Doctors and up it'll come. But tonight we are talking our waiver wire pickups, and to kick us off is Steve. Who have you got, mate?
Yeah, some interesting waiver wire pickups this week. I think my first one... Look, I'm actually not sure that a lot of these guys are waiver wire guys, so I'll give you my first four that I think you can spend it on, and then three others who I think you can wait till waivers clears and not use your priority on it. But I still want to pick up Jared Polek, midfielder for Port Adelaide, 52% ownership in your ultimate footy leagues. Turned up playing on the weekend, as we said. He was a fantastic pickup. Next week they're playing Brisbane, so you know Port Adelaide look like they're dominating the inside ball, so that should mean good things for Polek, obviously in great touch on the weekend. My next pickup, Trent Dumont, we've said him basically every week, midfielder, he's owned by 68%, but man, he looks like he's really growing into that inside midfield role, even if there is a bit of run with situation. They're playing the Gold Coast, so you know he's going to be around the ball. Defender, Statesman's boy, Lockie Weller. Still only 55% owned. Playing West Coast, so it's not really a great matchup. West Coast generally have been pretty stingy in terms of fantasy points against, although today Hawks are doing the business, so that's interesting. But I think with Steve Hill's injury, it gives Lockie a bit more scope to move up the ground a little bit and maybe get some more ball. The fourth guy, forward, Mason Wood, looked really good against Fremantle, 54% owned, so he should be available in your league. Scored 73s. He's just an aerobic beast. He hasn't really had a good run at it over the years, but if he can settle down, I still like the way North are playing. They've been in all their matches. They're going to get some wins, so I certainly think Mason Wood's a decent pickup. Now, onto three guys who you might not need to waiver for, but I certainly think they're worth a look at. Number one is Jackson Thurlow. He's only in 29% of teams on Ultimate Footy. They're playing Collingwood. And what are we seeing? Halfbacks are just raking against Collingwood. You might find Cam Guthrie in your pool, but he's over our limit, so I can't nominate him. But certainly both worth a pickup. One for your Supercoach-only leagues, Tom Barris. He's only owned in 36% of Ultimate Footy leagues. Is a defender for West Coast. I think with Jeremy McGovern going forward, if he can continue in that role, it opens up Tom Barris. He's a good intercept marker. He should be able to grab you 7 or 8 marks a game. Some of those are going to be intercepts. So he's certainly got the scope. I wouldn't mind putting him on my bench. He scored pretty nicely today, 82. So I think that's pretty handy and certainly one to look at. Scott Lysette, still only 56% owned. Ruck forward, he should be back within a month. And just the last guy, definitely no waiver for this guy, but he should. I don't mind the option. Harry Cunningham playing against the Blues, only in 18% of teams. I certainly think he's got the chance to rack up the outside ball, as we saw Port Adelaide did to Carlton. Man, I think Sydney are going to bury him next week. So I certainly think he's got the scope to hit around 80 if you need it.
Yeah, some good waiver pickups there. I had Pollock as number one on my list. Just for those out there, he's averaging 93 in both formats against the Brisbane Lions with 2 tons in Dream Team and 1 in Supercoach. So good pick there. And when we do talk about our waiver wire pickups, we have a 65% rule. So it's 65% or less just to give everyone a good chance of being able to pick up these players. So, moving on to you, Statesman.
Yeah, I've only got three to add on to those, gentlemen. Nick Haynes, first defender for GWS, owned by 63%. He's turned up for the last 2 games, and that's because he's been freed off to be a creative defender. The next one, seeing they have got the matchup for Collingwood, is actually Harry Taylor. Now, he is moving back into defence because Aaron Black inclusion was a major success. So I think you'll find Harry roaming the half back line, and it'll give him a great option to score big against Collingwood next weekend, only owned by 26%. And last but not least, and I will say this was in the mindset before today's game, was Mav Weller, forward for St Kilda, owned by 62%. He's a solid 70-point scorer, but seeing he had the matchup with Hawthorn, and seeing Hawthorn were travelling so poorly, I thought it might be a nice, good matchup for him to score big. But obviously, we saw remarkable form turnaround for Hawthorn today. But it'll be interesting to see if that was more West Coast playing at the MCG, or that the pressure's ramped up and Hawthorn are back switched on. What do you think of Hawthorn's form today, gents?
I'm going to put it down to them playing at West Coast at the MCG.
Yeah, I think next week's going to tell a pretty interesting story. You know, obviously the fans would be buoyed from today, but we know West Coast is a little bit of an albatross. But they're still a good team.
I don't know. I also think the Saints' pace might be like they did, like West Gold Coast did to them a couple of weeks ago as well, just run them off their feet. I think the Saints will do that to them as well.
Down in Lonnie, though.
Oh, Lonnie. It doesn't matter. We'll just get Siren Gate going and everything will be good in the world. Seeing as you guys have taken most of my waiver wire pickups, I did have Mason Wood and Pollock as well. I've got Darcy Byrne-Jones, only owned in 31% of teams. He's been playing, got some nice scores going the last few weeks, playing against the Brisbane Lions. I don't know if the Brisbane Lions are going to go helter-skelter again like they did on the Bulldogs on the weekend, so they're kicking inside 50, could be a bit shonky and get on the end of a few marks and rebound it out of there. And as Steve said earlier in the week, Sam May is still floating around, even though he is 69%, had a couple of great weeks. So 69%, just above our limit, but still a great pickup if you can get a hold of him, especially in your Supercoach leagues.
How the hell is he still in league, in pools?
Oh, no, I've been trying to pick him up, but nope, none in any sort of our fantasy leagues. Not good if you're... not good for us. We can't get Sam Mays in our team.
Not good for you this week, Jono, because your brother's playing him.
He is playing me, but luckily Joel Selwood got me a 154, but I still think I'm going to lose.
Okay.
And even in our keeper league, our old mate, Ollie Yolditz, had him... not as captain, but scored 174 in fantasy, so just blew me right out of the water. But if you do like the show, we are on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Please do subscribe and leave us a review. We really appreciate it. It helps our brand to get us out there, and all the subscriptions help a lot. But moving on to our weekly review of the games, we each have six teams, each breaking down how the players, top fantasy players went, and kicking us off is Steve.
Yeah, look, boys, it all started for me Friday night. I was nestling into the couch with a nice Mornington Peninsula Pinot, one of the finest, no doubt. And I was going to watch
Mornington.
And I was going to watch a snuff film. I was going to settle in with a snuff film. But I thought, you know what, this isn't brutal enough, and I switched on the Port and Carlton game. And from the get-go, it was all Port. The Bash brothers, Ollie Wines and Brad Ebert, were just crushing it on the inside. Robbie Gray could have easily had 10 goals if he knew how to kick a football straight. Chad Wingard could have had 5 himself, despite the fact he was running through the middle of the ground, picking up some touches. Jared Pollack tunned up in both formats. We certainly pushed his barrow all week, so hopefully you were able to scoop him up and play him. Matty Broadbent, one of my favourites. Always sing Matty Broadbent's praises. Had the 30-odd touches and a snag. Look, but the list goes on. It was a dominant performance by the Port Power, the only downsides. Maybe Sam Powell Peppers hit the rookie wall. He's certainly slowed down a little bit. So one for more your salary caps, I guess, and maybe your keeper legs. Maybe you don't roster him. And Travis Boak, obviously coming off in the second half with a hamstring knock. But on the Carlton side, really interesting. Mark Murphy, we heard Jono mention that after the game he came out with some sort of meniscus injury, but he had zero tackles, which I found really interesting. It's not often you see a midfielder have no tackles. But it opened the door for a man who'd been down, and that was Patrick Cripps. And he went full ham, getting 18 contested balls with 37 disposals. And he certainly looks back, and he had the most clearances for the team. So if Murphy does miss any times, I think Cripps is certainly looks like returning to his old ways. Some nice fantasy scores from Bryce Gibbs, Sam Doherty, Cade Simpson. And Levi Casbolt, man, he's... I don't know what Savrock has done, but he's straightened him right up, and he's kicking the ball really nicely. So it's pretty interesting. I thought Charlie Curnow was pretty impressive in a hostile environment. He certainly took some nice contested marks, but the pressure was just non-existent for these guys. I mean, Port smashed them for possessions, and they out-tackled them by 30. And the inside 50s were the 71 inside 50s to 38. You're not going to win too many games of football with that sort of dominance. On to North Melbourne, another heartbreaker for the Shin Bonus. It was really even game, as you'd expect in a close loss. No Dream Team tons in this match. Quite unbelievable. Because, you know, the greatest fantasy player of all time, Lachie Neale, was in there. I thought it was really interesting after the game. I was on the Twitter, people. Love watching the Twitter during a game. And people were questioning Brad Scott's job. And I don't know if they're watching the game. I really like this team and what he's got them doing. But they certainly need to throw the money at a match winner like Josh Kelly. It's clear as day they need a line breaker because they're a very, very well-organized team, well-drilled. But, I mean, and they were missing Sean Higgins as well. With hamstring tightness, pretty ordinary news for Higgins owners, but they really needed someone like that to break some lines and get the ball inside 50. But they are what they are. Goldie was playing on one leg in the last quarter, didn't help. McMillan and Cunnington, just huge. Cunnington in career best form. Like I said, Trent Dumont growing into the role, 12 contested balls, 8 clearances. The Kangaroos halfbacks playing really well. Marley Williams, Luke McDonald. Looks like he might be developing into that ball winner we've seen at the lower levels, which is nice. Mason Wood looked great, first game of the year. Andrew Swallow had a just, I don't know whether he's down on form, whether he's cooked, but he's not a fantasy player I want in my team. And Jack Zeeble was tagged right out of that match. And on the same night, GWS. And they could have called this match off after three-quarter time. The players just stopped. They didn't look interested. They knew it was all GWS. But they just wear teams down. It's quite incredible. They're just too good. And they get on a roll. The other team throws a spare man back. And then Phil Davis just mops up across halfback doing whatever he wants. The umpires really tried to get the Swans back into the game. But GWS just smashed him in the clearances, the contested ball, the inside 50. Shane Mumford with the lazy 62 hit-outs, just pumping it down the guys' throats. He is the dominant tap ruckman in the league at the moment. If you've got him in Supercoach, you are loving life. Jeremy Cameron, quite unbelievable. I couldn't predict this.
What the hell
this.
Was that with these stats? That was ridiculous.
He's just doing everything, and everything goes through him. He's bigger than I've ever seen him. He's fast. He's... got a tank.
He was
in the back line at one point, just mopping up. He was doing everything. Complete whiff by me on the preseason. He's just doing everything. Goals, tackles, touches, marks. He's been fantastic. Toby Green, absolutely awesome. 4 snags. Really low Dream Team score, but huge Super Coach. And everybody else got 90-ish. It was like Oprah. Everyone else gets 90-ish.
Even Lunchsmith, mate?
Yeah, he got 90-ish, except for Dylan Shiel, which was my risk it for the biscuit captain. Really quiet fantasy game, but still had 11 contested balls, 7 clearances, but just didn't find the ball in transition. We know he's a clearance beast, but it just sort of didn't pan out that way. There was a lot of back and forward. Yeah, and that's all my teams, because I got Collingwood and Richmond, and they're yet to play. Dusty had a monster, though, Jono.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he?
Huge. Huge.
And he just pulled a groin in the second half and right off the bone just kept playing, did he?
Jesus. What's it? You're in a bad mood, John. Have you lost this week?
No, I'm just really tired. I've been a big boy barbecue all afternoon. So
yeah, I saw the photo of the PBR.
Yeah, it's about the best beer they had.
Oh, that's rough, buddy.
Yeah, $8 a can at 500 ml. I'm not complaining.
That's like in New York. That's like $2.
Yeah, I know. No. You get like a 6-pack in America. 2 6-packs for America for that price.
Brutal.
But Statesman, who have you got for your teams, mate?
Yeah, starting off with Brisbane, Dane Zorko was just magnificent in Dream Team, 157. And that was with 26 kicks, a remarkable game, 8 tackles, and it got on the scoreboard as well with 2 goals. Dane Beams continued his good form with 126. Tom Rockcliffe, 124. Steph Martin, 121. So that's magnificent. That was a great game too. They were certainly leading up until probably halfway through the last quarter when Western Bulldogs just turned it on. Interesting match and interesting form by Western Bulldogs. But if you're playing poorly and you still find ways to win, you are a good team. Sam Mays, who we've talked about on the waiver wire for quite a long time, actually scored 105 Dream Team and 92 in Supercoach. Lewis Taylor performing well for me week in, week out. Another 88 on the scoreboard for him. And someone I've been raising for about 3 or 4 weeks now, Eric Hipwood, is going to be a star. 83 Dream Team, 78 Supercoach for his 3 goals. He is going to be a very good player. And if you've got a keeper, I would be stashing him away. Especially if your season's probably already gone, Jono.
Thanks for the tip, mate. I'll do it right now.
Good to see. Next up is the Gold Coast Suns, and thankfully Michael Barlow repaid the faith after his injury game of 44 last week. Gary Ablett performing quite well still with 118, waiting for his injuries to come through. Aaron Hall, 102. He's been a bit quieter than I've been expecting, gentlemen. But it's maybe just the amount of time he's actually having in the centre square. Jared Lyons, 100, but a little bit lower on Supercoach, only 75 for him. Thomas Lynch, a little bit quieter this week. That's handsome Tom, with 85 and 103 in Supercoach. And I would say that I think that Jared Witts, although against a good opponent, but he seems to be dropping away his form, only 66 points in Dream Team, but his Supercoach was still reasonably high with 91. For the Sydney Swans, it was Zach Jones leading the way, a bit like the Frio game. No one turned up for the Sydney Swans. Magnificent start to the game, kicking 4 goals before the GWS actually even touched the footy, but unfortunately that was about it for Sydney Swans for the night. It was 5 goals to 15 from there on in. Zach Jones, 91 and 115 in Supercoach. Callum Mills, a solid 90. It was good to see him back in form and running through a bit of the midfield. The big three were again a bit disappointing with their scoring, but Hanbury did get 112 in the Supercoach format. And everyone was very excited for the great man number 5 to come back and play his first game for the year, but only scored 61 in Dream Team, 75 in Supercoach for the great man Heaney. Might take him a few games to get back in the scoring form. For Fremantle Dockers, the Hill brothers led with 98 and 95 respectively in AFL fantasy scoring, but Stephen Hill did leave with a hamstring injury. Michael Johnson, back in form, 93. It's taken him a little bit of time with an interrupted pre-season, but 93 and 105 Supercoach could mean he will be a waiver wire option. Lee Spur continuing his good form too with 92. Aaron Sandilands, of course, turned up in Supercoach 101 with his 55 hitouts. But a bit surprised he couldn't get a much higher score than that. Nat Fyfe was brilliant in Supercoach. So was Lockie Neal, but only 87 and 86 in Dream Team, respectively. And moving on to today's game, and we had the West Coast Eagles, got touched up by Hawthorn at the MCG. Luke Shuey top scored in Dream Team with 119, but only 95 in Supercoach. Jeremy Cripps scored well with 94, although he did leave late in the last quarter with an ankle injury. Matt Prittis was reasonably quiet with only 92. Chris Marston is continuing his decent form with 91. Jeremy McGovern, which should be a waiver wire option as well, 91. He seems to be scoring pretty well and had a bit of a roll up forward trying to stretch the Hawthorn defence today. Andrew Gaff slowed down with only 88 Dream Team and 79 in Supercoach. And Elliot Yeo had a quieter day too with only 73 in Dream Team. That's my teams, gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you very much for Statesman. And I'm going to kick it off with the Western Bulldogs on Saturday afternoon there. The game of two halves, but Luke Dalhouse just going to be the number one forward, I think, this year. Just absolutely killing it in both formats. He's absolutely streaks ahead of Brett Delidio, so that Palmer coming my way quite easily there.
Easy. I'll concede.
Concede? Oh, I love a free Palmer. Marcus Adams started off in the forward line, kicked a snag there, but when the Lions got on their bike and kicked about 10 goals straight, moved down the back line and was just peeling off mark after mark. 89 Dream Team, 121 Supercoach, so averaging quite nicely in the Dream Team format there. Jack McRae, pretty much involved in everything, the link-up chains there, 95 Dream Team, 121 Supercoach. Toby McLean, I'm a Bulldogs fan, but I don't like the way he goes about his football, ducking his head all the time, but scored quite well with 111 Dream Team and 91 Supercoach for Toby McLean there. But Lockie Hunter, absolutely horrible. Sent a bit of a group chat message with Steve and a couple of other mates there, quarter time. He was on minus 7 Supercoach points. So not sure what's going on with Lockie Hunter there. Only the 67 Dream Team and 45 Supercoach. Has to go to the bench. Cannot play him at this stage. He's just stinky cheese all over the place.
Is he a trade option?
Oh, what do you get in return for him, though?
No, I want him.
Oh, you want him, but yeah, but the person offering or giving him up, what did he get in return? What do you offer back? I mean, yeah, great play. I actually thought he was going to go bigger this year, picking up in both formats, but if I was going to give him up, it's hard to ask for something in quality return, that's for sure.
Is it change of role?
He's playing more forward, and Lin Jong seems to be playing that midfield wing role more than him, so he's just not getting that time on the ball as much, and he did spend, well, Luke Beveridge decided to throw in 9 defenders down the back at one stage, and where Lockie Hunter was as well. So just a complete role change for him, and just that fantasy output is not there at all, unless he gets on the end of a few and you might get an 85-90 out of him.
And it's the weakness of picking Bulldogs players, isn't it? Because they've got so much talent. How do you share the roles around?
Yeah, exactly right. Someone's had to take a hit and looks like it's Lockie Hunter.
Can I ask you, Johnny, do you think Supercoach have tweaked it up on these really uncontested players more than maybe they've said in the off-season? Because, like, we're seeing some scores and they're just, like, you know, Jack Stephen.
Well, no, Jack McRae's in
it. Jack Stephen.
Jack McRae's an uncontested player and he scored 121 but had a fair bit of the pill.
Yeah, I'm just saying with, like, Treloar and Stephen and these guys, they're really, their scores are just down and it doesn't feel like they're doing anything different. I know maybe they are a little bit more uncontested, but it's pretty bad.
Well, Lockie Hunter's effectiveness was pretty poor in that first quarter as well, so he's running at 0%. That did affect it as well and gave away a few free kicks, but you could be right. It could be the old champion data just spinning the wheel and making up as they go along.
Well, they do tweak it every year. We know that.
Mm. But, yeah, if you're a Hunter owner, just I'd say hold fast because he was a top 20 Dream Team a scorer last year. But moving on to the Adelaide Crows, the Crouch Brothers. Wow, Brad Crouch coming in for his first game, scoring 119 in both formats, just fantastic. And Matty Crouch going 118, Dream Team 124, Supercoach. Rory Sloane absolutely killing it this year, 132 in Dream Team, 139 Supercoach, laying 13 tackles. Do you reckon this guy's leading the Brownlow at this stage? Because I had a thought about it today, and I couldn't think of anyone else who could be even close.
Rory Sloane.
Rory Sloane.
Dusty.
Well, I think Sloane's been better.
Well, he had that bad. He had that quiet first game, don't forget.
Yeah, that's true. But my boy, currently Hampton, thank you, Brady Crouch, for getting into the team. Laid an awesome 10 tackles and kicked a couple of goals to go with it. 119 Dream Team, 103 Supercoach, and good on me for leaving old Curtly on the bench in our Listener League, but shouldn't affect the scores too much. Rory Laird just doing what Rory Laird does, just taking possession, taking marks, and turning up in both formats as usual. Should be an All-Australian this year. Andy Otten, we had a bit of a joke about him at the start of the year when he came back into that team, but had that quiet first game, but he's been sensational after that, going 99 Dream Team, 101 Supercoach.
Just a heads up, he will feature in the Dozen Deals article this week as a sell.
As a sell? Ooh, I like it. I like it. But Adelaide Crows going along quite nicely. Going to be a top of the... I'm going to call it right now. Top of the table clash. Adelaide Crows versus Richmond next week. Both teams undefeated at Adelaide Oval. Should be a cracker. But the next game was... I've got both the Saints and the Cats here. Kicking off with the Saints. Dylan Roberton, absolutely loving his season so far. Jake Carlisle, as I've said earlier in the years, just letting Roberton go forth and mark everything under the sun. Going 118, 116 in Dream Team as Supercoach. Seb Ross, my Captain Risky option for this week, came off a treat, going 111 Dream Team, 123 in Supercoach. So if you went with Seb Ross, well done. Joe Montagna, the old boy's still got a fair bit in the tank. Going 107 Dream Team, 94 Supercoach. Blake Akers, I've got him in our League of Records, Steve. Sitting on the pine because I decided to play Brandon Matera. And Blake Akers has gone 92 and 95 in both formats there. So missing on about out on about 50 points right about there. And Jack Steele went 101, turned up in the Dream Team, but only 76 in the Supercoach, even though he laid 10 tackles. So we talk about that balance of scoring right there. So Jack Steele had been pretty good so far this year.
Five clangers.
Ah, five clangers. I must have missed that one. But moving on to the Cats.
And in Dream Team, he only scored 31 for the second half.
Ah, there you go. I only caught the last quarter, so... I didn't see, as I was out at Big Boy Barbecue all afternoon. But moving on to the Cats, Joel Selwood, absolutely massive. 43 disposals, 175 Dream Team, 154 Supercoach. Had an amazing 16 disposals in that third quarter. Absolutely huge. Zach Tui, my boy. Another one of my boys. 131 Dream Team, 116 Supercoach, 9 marks. Mitch Duncan, he's having a great season so far. It's just... scoring 130 Dream Team, 103 Supercoach. Dangerfield was a bit quiet until he kicked a goal in the last quarter to put the Cats in front and just got scaled up massively. Ended up scoring 117 in both formats. Aaron Black in his first game went about 100 in both formats. So if he's there floating on your waiver wires, could be good to just stash there. And Mark Blixarves going up against Billy Longa and Nick Riewoldt at times there. 115 Dream Team and 104 Supercoach, played a pretty good game. And to the last... Yeah, mate?
Do you think Blixarves is a chance to get ruck in AFL Fantasy and the DPP change coming up?
They might... He might be the ones where they just hold back till the next batch of DPP, but I can certainly see it there. But I think they just might hold him back, like the Brett Stanton move. But the last game coming up was the Hawks beating West Coast there. Tommy Mitch did what Tommy Mitch pleased. Went 120 plus in both formats. Kicked a handball ratio. It was huge. We know he can't kick to save his life, but can handball quite well. Luke Bruce returned to form, 3 goals, 96 Dream Team, the ton in Supercoach. Big Boy McAvoy, no real ruck contest right there. It's only against Vardy, had 40-odd hit-outs, 129 Dream Team, won 17 Supercoach. Liam Shields was quite good, going 120 and 110. Old man Sean Burgoyne, I thought the guy was dead, but had a pretty nice game there with 94 Dream Team and 104 Supercoach. Jack Gunston started off slowly but worked himself right into the game there, turning up in both formats. And Tim O'Brien, taking a while for this guy to get going, but 92 and 96 in Supercoach, kicked the 3 goals. He struggled to get a game because you've had Buddy, Ruffhead and Gunston there, but if he can secure that spot with Sicily, Ruffhead and himself, with Gunston playing at the wing, could be a chance there on your waiver wires and keeper leagues. Well, that wraps up, just about wraps up the show for this week. A couple more games coming up, but come on, AFL, start scheduling some normal games because this is killing us, absolutely killing us when it comes to dropping shows. But when we have our normal Thursday, Friday night games and Sunday finishes, we'll be back as normal. And because it's going to be pretty tight this week, because what waivers will drop on
Thursday morning they'll clear.
Thursday morning. Jeez, short turnaround there, but we will have the late week pickup in Captain's Lounge coming for you on Thursday, dropping on Friday. But
what are you? I'm worried, Jono. I'm worried about this the China game. I went into competition today to win a trip over to watch the match, but this North Korea thing has got me flustered.
Just wear a Gold Coast Sun shirt and you'll be fine, because that's red and yellow, communist parties, all the China flags. You'll be sweet. You'll just fit in, mate.
I thought you were going to say that'll repel the missiles that are coming straight at me, but that's even better idea.
Incognito.
Don't worry, it's fake news. And if it's not fake news, we're not going to be around to prove that I was wrong.
You'll be fine down there, mate. They won't even worry about you.
Yeah, the Roaring 40s will keep it all the disaster away from us. We're fine. Just you, sipping my Pinot.
You and the thylacines will be sweet.
Hey, we can finally have our own AFL team.
Yeah.
The Gold Coast Kangaroos. Who knows what the AFL do? They just make up their own rules and just spat. That wraps up the show for this week. If you do want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out at The Draft Doctors on Twitter or at Statesman33. Head over to Facebook, search The Draft Doctors there, or check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Steve's dropping his dozen deals each week, and he gave a hot tip there on Andy Otten this week. And if you do like the show, please do check out iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Hit the subscribe button, and please do leave us a review.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.